This is OMS Voices and Amos Podcast. I'm Bill Klaproth, and with me is Dr. Jolie Chow, who is here to discuss how mercy ships provide humanitarian aid. Dr. Chow, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. It is a great honor for me to talk about one of my passions other than my career. So I'm very excited to be able to share this with our audiences.
I love it. So you love the mercy ship?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you love volunteering.
I love volunteering.
But and you love giving back.
Yes.
Okay. I love it. So let me ask you this then, speaking of volunteering, after spending time volunteering with mercy ships, tell us more about the organization.
So Mercy Ships is an organization that is committed to providing free surgeries, as well as strengthening the healthcare infrastructure in nations that it serves via floating hospitals. Currently, the organization has two ships, the Africa Mercy and the Global Mercy. Mercy Ships' mission is to provide hope and healing to the most needy in this world. Since 1978, the organization has provided community development projects with community health education, mental health projects, programs, and agricultural projects and palliative care for the terminally ill patients, in addition to free surgeries to the nations that it serves.
So let me ask you this. How does the ship get dispatched to certain areas? Isn't it like you call up and go, hey, can I get the mercy ship over here? How does that work?
It is a complex sort of process. There are certain areas of the world that has a lot more need. In particular, currently in the West Coast of Africa is where the organization primarily serves.
Okay.
It has served in other areas of the world in the past as well. But I think in general, they form a collaboration with the host country.
Okay.
And that's how the process begins.
That's really interesting. I mean, what a great mission that it serves. I mean, there is a need for these ships and the service that is provided through the mercy ships.
Yeah, it is a really great organization in a sense that it brings, in addition to the free surgeries, capacity building for the nations that it serves. So, of course, a lot of the nations that it serves does not have the resources to treat the population of the country for a lot of the procedures that we would consider fairly routine in the United States. But in addition to that, they also try to make sure that once the ship leaves the country, departs the country, that they also impart knowledge that stays with the country or infrastructure or whatnot, you know?
Yeah, that's again, a really great part of the mission. So is that how this organization operates? Can you share any other insights into how it operates?
Usually it sells to the host country and okay. It's docked there in a single country for nearly a year, one year at a time.
Okay.
Each ship is more than just, you know, a mobile hospital. It really provides hope to the people of the nation that it's docked at. It does require more than 400 peoples to function effectively. So that demonstrates the scale of the operation. Again, people that serve with the organization are not just medical professionals.
Okay.
People with diverse skill sets contribute to the organization or Mercy Ship's mission. Whether you're performing surgery to move or disfiguring tumor for a patient, or you're just cleaning the deck of the ship, or you're transporting patients, the volunteers for the ship or for the organization ensures that thousands receive the medical attention that they need and make a difference in the life of the struggling people every day that they serve.
I like how you say it provides hope. I bet when that ship pulls into port, people are like, yes, help is here. I mean, that's really, really cool, providing hope. So what type of treatment have you provided while on a mercy ship mission?
So while surgeries like cleft lip and palate repair are routine, in developed countries like the United States, they can be a game changer in regions with limited medical infrastructures. So generally, I've been able to perform such procedures to be part of restoring the dignity and confidence in patients or individuals who have lived with these facial differences for years.
I would imagine cleft lip and palate is one of the major issues that you treat and that people in Africa face.
In addition to that, I also treat disfiguring tumors, mostly benign. as well as other maxillofacial conditions such as ankylosis, which is the condition where the jaw joint is fused and that the patient cannot open their mouth, so they cannot eat properly and speak properly.
Yeah.
But in general, they're not generally prevalent in the United States, these conditions, but because the countries that the organization serve lacks the resources.
Right.
So when we arrive, a lot of times the numbers just seems daunting.
I would bet overwhelming at times,
yeah.
I would think. Yeah. So can you recall an extreme case that you have seen that have solidified your participation in the cause?
Most of the cases there are extreme. So I don't know if I have one particular case.
Yeah.
But just the first time that I ever participated on a mission with the Mercy Ships organization, I was actually sponsored by the American Association of Oral Maxillofacial Surgeons. And when I arrived, generally the first day you get to screen the patients that you're actually rescreen. They pre-screen the patients and then you also screen them again before the surgery to make sure that that is something that is treatable or manageable on the floating ship, on the floating hospital.
Yeah.
And just the size of the disfiguring figures and the number of patients that shows up with that particular condition is just so large that it just shows me that there is really need out there.
There is a need, big need. Absolutely. What made you want to do this? What made you want to volunteer and be part of the Mercy Ship mission?
Well, I always wanted to give back. I would like to think that I give back every day in my everyday work.
I think you do.
In addition to that, in addition to what I do every day, I think it is a little bit of a personal reason as well. I feel it solidified to me my choice in my career path, and that the fact that my years of training and days of work has given me a skill set that can provide free care for people who really needs it.
You're really making a difference.
Yeah.
In people's lives.
Yes.
I mean, a huge difference. And
thank you.
That is justified in the staggering number of people that need these treatments. So you really are providing really a wonderful service. So what would you say to an individual considering volunteering in this way or with the organization? And what are some of the benefits that you've noticed outside of the personal satisfaction you take away from this?
In this particular organization, when you participate, you get to meet all kinds of people from different parts of the world.
Yeah.
The volunteers on board are multinational. Not only do you meet healthcare professionals, like I said earlier, there will be people cooking, for example, you know, for the meals, for the crew that's on the ship. There's people who provide IT computer services so that you can view x-rays. There's radiologists, radiology techs. So it really shows how the work of individuals that comes together as a collective really can help a lot more. And it exemplifies the spirit of service and humanity. And it reminds how we're interconnected in our global community and how the power of compassion and expertise combined can do so much good.
Working towards a shared goal.
Yes.
Really, really important. When you're on the ship, are you on there? You said it comes to port for generally a year at a time. Are you on the ship for the whole year or do you work part of that?
So there's different types of volunteers the ship. They are doctors that's there for the whole field service. So that's generally between 10 months or so, 8 to 10 months or so in the host nation. They are, it's called shorter-term volunteers. So the shortest term for surgeons are 2 weeks.
Okay.
But I have been there for 2 weeks, 3 weeks at a time. And you can go back, the ship is docked at the host nation. You can say, I'm going to go 2 weeks at the beginning of the service and then come back for another 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Or some people stay for 3 months at a time. Some people stay for the whole thing. So there's different levels of commitment to the organization.
Absolutely. Well, this is fascinating and what a great service it does provide. Truly making a difference in people's lives and people like you that are volunteering to do this because you're getting goodwill and satisfaction out of this as well.
Yes. For anybody who has not tried to volunteer, whether it's with the Mercy Ship or with even just a local organization, not only are you helping people, but I think it also, like you said, really provides people a sense of accomplishment as well.
Yeah. Well, this has been great learning about the Mercy Ships. Anything else you want to add, Dr. Chow?
Again, I would just like to encourage people. In this day and age, we sometimes talk about burnout a lot. And I think this is one of the ways where you can feel that your contribution to the global community is of value, and that a career in oral maxillofacial surgery is multifaceted, and that not only do we help our local communities, but we also help the global community.
Yeah, very, very well said. So I like how you said that. And thank you for educating us and opening our eyes to different paths that OMSs can take. And volunteering is one of them.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You bet. It's been a great talking with you, Dr. Chow. Thank you so much. And once again, that is Dr. Jolie Chow. And for more information in the full podcast library, please visit myoms.org. And if you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social channels. And don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for listening.